welcome to another edition, You and Your Money. And joining us this morning, Lawrence Hale, Principal Managing Partner and Chief Investment Officer at Weiss, Hale, and Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors. Lawrence, welcome back. Aren't we like 2 weeks late for this show?
Well, there was a good reason, but great to be back and great to see that UConn win.
Yeah, well, the reason was that I was in Phoenix when we had this show originally booked 2 weeks ago today. But I'm here today to talk about things market-wise with Lawrence Hale, including our main topic today, which is that markets don't play politics. We all know it's, of course, an election year, and the race and related politics beginning to heat up. A lot of people worry about how that might affect the financial markets and their investments, so we'll explore that issue today. But as always, Lawrence, let's see what's going on. Update the markets right now, please.
Well, Wayne, you know, the markets are definitely taking a little bit of a breather. I think the main cause of that is the fact that, you know, the Federal Reserve has indicated that they may be keeping rates at the same levels for longer. So people were anticipating about 3 rate cuts this year. Consensus has it closer to 2 late year, which is in some respects not a bad thing because we are seeing some resilience in the economy and the data looks pretty good. But, you know, from a market perspective, S&P 500 through the end of Friday up about 7.86, but retreated a little bit so far this quarter. The Dow only up about 1.25. Russell 2000, those are small stocks, actually in negative territory, down about 0.8%. And bonds, which, you know, yields have gone way up with the aggregate bond index yielding at the end of last week about just under 5.25%. But on an actual rate of return basis, that index is down about 2.5% because we've seen rates climb a little bit, and that puts downward pressure on bond prices.
So where do you think see things going now as we approach the middle part of the year?
Well, you know, we definitely expect, and we'll talk about it in our content about the election year, things to be volatile. You know, there's obviously a lot of headlines that are keeping people on their toes. Valuations are a little stretched with the Magnificent Seven. However, you know, corporate data earnings seem to be fairly solid, and there's a lot of positive economic data that shows, you know, resilience in the economy and the chances of rolling into recession. Probably unlikely, not a 0% possibility, but the chances we think are dwindling.
All right, let's dive into today's topic as we head into the 2024 presidential election. How can we expect the election to impact the stock market?
Well, it's, you know, Wayne, it's a common misperception that elections have a major effect on the markets. And the reality is history shows that the stock market's really party agnostic. So regardless of whether it's a Republican or a Democrat or maybe even a third party that's elected, the market tends to rise over the long term.
So in other words, the election has no effect on it whatsoever?
Well, you know, it definitely can have some volatility and keep people on their toes, but it does not necessarily indicate that the market is going to go up or down or sideways. And if you look over the, the long term, markets have moved up, and according to some data from Capital Group, the S&P 500's only declined in 2 of the last 20 election years, and those election years were the year 2000 and 2008, and the reason for the declines in those years really were attributed to asset bubbles, not the elections themselves.
What is an asset bubble?
So think of an asset bubble as, you know, valuations getting stretched. So you go back to the financial crisis in 2008, you know, that was prices of homes rising at a rate that was unsustainable, being, you know, buoyed by cheap money and easy lending policy, among many other things. And when you look back to 2000, that was really the dot-com crisis. Think of any company that had dot-com at the end of it, you know. For those younger viewers, you may have never not been in an era of the internet, but that was the advent of the internet, and people were going bonkers over the prospects of the internet, and a lot of those companies really had no earnings despite their prices being bid up, and that wasn't sustainable as well.
So in other words, the president's party affiliation does not seem to matter much when it comes to market performance.
Exactly. I mean, it may not feel that way, but the stock markets post-election returns seem to have much more to do with whether the market is over or undervalued at the start of the term of the president rather than what political party they're affiliated with.
So it sounds like external economic factors play a bigger role than the elections themselves. What about volatility levels? Do we typically see higher volatility in election years compared to non-election years?
We do. And that, you know, I think is what people often misperceive as the market performance. You know, volatility, most people think of as the market going down. Markets, when they're in higher levels of volatility, can go down and up. But we do tend to see higher volatility in the first half of election years as uncertainty around policies and the eventual winner increases. So, however, volatility doesn't necessarily translate into negative returns, and the markets actually perform better in the second half of election years on average.
So it could even potentially present an opportunity?
Absolutely. You know, Wayne, we view periods of increased volatility as often chances to buy stocks at a discount. Think about the stock market going on sale if it's down. It's essential for investors to maintain a long-term view and really not get caught up in the short-term noise of an election cycle.
Lawrence, you went to Fenway Park on the Patriots Day game. I would like you to share with our listeners the story of where you parked for that game on Monday.
Well, Wayne, it was a great day to watch a baseball game and a marathon, but not a great place to find parking. We ended up going to the same lot we typically do, right in Kenmore Square off Comm Ave, and pulled in, and obviously the race runs right through that area, so there were tons of police officers keeping everyone safe and organized. And we were driving, six of us went up to the game in a big black Suburban. Parking lot full of police. There's about 20 BPD motorcycles in there, and a plainclothes police officer stops us as we come in and wonders who we are and says, "You can't park here." And he thought we were the feds driving in a big black Suburban. So had a great experience with one of Boston's finest, and ended up having to find new parking and had a great day watching the game.
I love that story. Did you get a chance to see any of the marathon when you were up there, or is it all baseball?
It was all baseball. We were in the stadium before start and stayed until the bitter end, which unfortunately did not result in a win for the Sox.
I recall they lost on Patriots Day. All right, Markets Don't Play Politics with Lawrence Hale this morning. Were you saying before the break that investors shouldn't panic and sell when the market gets rocky during an election year?
Exactly. You know, Wayne, history shows that investors who stay invested and maintain a long-term horizon always come out ahead. Even when they started investing during challenging times like the bursting of the tech bubble in 2000 or the housing crisis in 2008.
Those are good points to keep in mind. And let's talk about the role of diversification during volatile periods. How important is having a diversified portfolio when navigating election years?
Well, this is, you know, a crucial point. Diversification is an incredibly important part of managing risk. And that's not just for election years, but really at all times. So diversification is really spreading your investments across different asset classes, sectors, geographies, and that can help investors mitigate portfolio risk. Think of the phrase, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So a well-diversified portfolio can help buffer against any short-term swings that we could see in an asset class or sector due to election rhetoric or policies. And, you know, we take a long-term strategic approach with our own clients at WHC because, you know, based on sound economic data that over the long term, it's much better to stay invested. Now, if your time horizon's really short, let's say you plan to retire in the next year or two, then you may want to take a different tack to minimize risk depending on how the market's doing and what's happening in the world overall. But it's really, you know, situation and goal dependent. And that's why it's so important to make sure you have a personalized and strategic financial plan and portfolio that matches that plan.
Does diversification include international investments?
It often does. You know, there are, believe it or not, more than half of the publicly traded stocks are outside of the United States. Markets are huge. If you think about the bonds that are issued by other countries, companies overseas, And then you've got other things like currencies and commodities. So, you know, there's always something that, you know, in the U.S. people call home country bias. You know, people know and want to invest in things that they know. But, you know, even if you're just sticking with U.S. investments, oftentimes the companies that you're investing in are doing business globally. They may be selling or buying from Europe, from Asia, from the Far East. So investing globally, you know, can add a lot of layers of diversification and some great opportunities as well.
But when you talk about diversification, aren't you also speaking, you just used the phrase bonds a couple of times, diversify with stocks and bonds. Don't put your eggs in one basket with just stocks.
Exactly. You know, the bonds play a role in portfolios. They often will be used to manage risk and generate income. You know, stocks typically are viewed more for growth-oriented purposes, but do have a much higher level of risk. And there are ways to invest in stocks and bonds that even further diversify. So think of things like mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, that are baskets of stocks and bonds. So you're getting really a fully diversified portfolio of stocks or bonds often when you're investing in those types of vehicles. But of course, you want to understand the risks before you make any sort of investment decision and build a portfolio that really aligns to what your long-term goals and plans are.
That makes perfect sense. Now, let's say you're not one of those people with such a short time horizon to cash in on or rely on your investments. Can you give us some specific examples of how staying invested has paid off in the long run before?
Sure. You know, that Capital Group data shows that money invested at the beginning of each of the past 20 election years and held for the subsequent 10 years has always grown. So that's looking over the last 20 presidential election cycles, investing for 10 years, and every single instance over that 10-year period, that money has grown. In fact, in 18 of those 20 periods, investors have actually doubled their money by the end of the decade. But that is a long-term horizon, so it's not investing in the short run. We're talking 10-year periods and staying invested despite volatility.
Are there cases where, as we sit 7 months out from a presidential election, that it might make sense to wait until after the election to see how things turn out rather than invest in a particular stock, bond, or whatever now?
You know, often that, you know, delaying can have worse results, and it definitely is something that you don't want to wait to implement a long-term strategy. There are different techniques and ways that you can invest over time. But if you try to time the market, you know, research has showed us that if those investors, you know, holding off on investing until after the elections ended, have ended up with lower returns compared to those who stayed invested throughout. So data shows us don't wait. And we would say from our experience, that is definitely the case.
Is there something to be said for staying the course and not trying to time the market like I just spoke about, especially during election years?
Yeah, you know, trying to time the market's a losing proposition. You know, you need to be right multiple times. You need to be right on when you buy an investment and when you sell an investment. And there are a lot of sort of psychological mistakes people can make, you know, that think about. If you pick a winning investment that makes you money, you may think, I've got great skill, and that means every investment I'm going to make is going to be a great one. And that's definitely not the case. If you look at historically strong investors, you know, think Warren Buffett and those types of folks, they're buying companies that they have no intention of selling. And they're doing it based on some fundamental understanding of the company, of their financials, of the market, of their market position. And those are you know, not timing the market. Those are investors who are really looking at buying good investments and staying with them through thick or thin. But at the same time, on an individual basis, you need to make sure that your overall strategy and plan allows you to make investments that you can stick with over that long period of time to see the positive results.
story out of the news this week, Lawrence, was that while inflation has come down significantly in the last couple of years, there are still some things that cost a lot more than they did a couple of years ago. And the Attorney General, William Tong, made a statement saying that some price gouging involved in that, that some of the places raised their prices and never brought them down, even though things aren't costing the businesses that much. Wonder what you thought about that and about the impact that has on the markets.
You know, inflation is definitely, a challenge. And I think a lot of people, I just had a conversation with a client yesterday about inflation. And, you know, don't forget that inflation sort of compounds on itself. So even though inflation has moderated considerably, down to, I think, 3.8% on core CPI as of the last print last week, we're still dealing with the higher inflation from a couple of years ago. So when people are going to the grocery store or, you know, purchasing different items or services, you know, they're seeing very different prices than they saw about 5 years ago, even though inflation is definitely a lot more moderate. And one of the Fed's dual mandates is to maintain inflation around a roughly 2.5% target, as well as keep unemployment in an acceptable range, usually below 4%. That's a battle they're fighting, and that's one of the reasons why they're anticipating delaying any reduction in interest rates. So, you know, a lot of it has to do with where you're looking. You know, commodity prices, I know a lot of folks are saying, hey, gas prices are a lot higher. Well, they're higher than they were in December, but they're pretty much the same place they were a year ago. So a lot of it has to do with, you know, your perspective, what time period you're looking over. But there's no doubt we're paying more for many goods and services than we were 5 years ago.
Good point. I was going to bring that up next, and that's the recent small spike in the price of gas. What is the effect of the price of gas, high or low, on the market in general and on inflation in general?
Well, you know, commodities over the last 5 or 6 months or so, particularly as there's been conflict in the Middle East, and that's been a bit of an unknown. Commodities, particularly oil, have been buffeted around, although it appears that even though the main players in the conflict in Israel and Gaza don't, they're not oil producers, that the concern is that things may spill out into that greater region, which is a major oil producer for the world. At the same time, the U.S. production's increased, so there's more domestic oil production happening, so that insulates us a little bit, as well as, you know, we saw that, you know, this tragic conflict that continues to rage over there potentially widen over the weekend, and really it seemed to be somewhat of a non-issue and contained, because that conflict with Israel and Iran has really been going on under the surface for many, many years.
Lawrence, I heard you say buffeted around. Was that a pun?
You know, we like to joke every once in a while, but I'll take credit for that pun.
Warren Buffett, that's the reference is there. As we wrap things up, any final thoughts or advice for investors navigating the upcoming election season?
You know, Wayne, my advice would be to keep calm and carry on with your long-term investment plan. So don't get caught up in the political noise or try to outsmart the market. You know, when we look at the historical data, it shows us that investors who remain disciplined and focused on their goals are often rewarded for their patience. And we believe that wholeheartedly.
You know, you told me off air, speaking of Fenway, which we were a few minutes ago, that you're not a really, like, wise sports guy, like basketball and baseball. But when you're there at Fenway, whether you know baseball or not, you have a good time, don't you?
Oh, it's, you know, the experience is just always fantastic. Such a, you know, historic, venue, and you can't, you know, help but root for the home team. It's just fun to see, you know, families, kids out there enjoying themselves, you know, particularly on a nice day. How often do you get to be outside for a few hours and relax and maybe have a beer or a hot dog?
Do you go with Zahansky and let him explain to you what's going on?
I usually ask some questions here or there, but there's enough big screens and stats on the boards, I can usually figure it out myself.
Well, I'll make you a deal. Bring me along, and I'll fill in the gaps for you.
I'll take that deal.
Yeah, you know the number. Give me a buzz there. Lawrence, good talking to you this morning. Thanks for joining me today.
Great, Wayne. It's always a pleasure.
Lawrence Hale, our guest this morning. If you're seeking experienced guidance for your own investments and financial plan, get in touch with Lawrence and the rest of the team at Weiss, Hale, and Zahansky Strategic Financial Advisors. And you can request a complimentary consultation on their website, whzwealth.com, or you can give them a call, 860-928-2341. Now the legal stuff. Diversification does not assure a profit or protect against loss in declining markets, and diversification cannot guarantee that any objective or goal will be achieved. Weiss, Hale, and Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors offer securities and advisory services through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor, fixed insurance products and services offered through CES Insurance Agency. They practice at 697 Pomfret Street, Pomfret Center, Connecticut, 06259, and now at 392 A Merrow Road, Tolland, 06084. You can reach them there at 860-928-2341. Weiss, Hale, and Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors do not provide legal or tax advice, and in some cases, baseball advice. This material is intended for informational, educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice, a solicitation, or a recommendation to buy or sell any security or investment product. The tenured financial services team strives to support clients in achieving their financial life goals. For more information regarding wealth management and customized financial planning with Weiss, Hale, and Zahansky Strategic Wealth Advisors, please visit whzwealth.com. 14 WILI Willimantic and 95.3 FM.